Come on, Oaks. That's a good place to put your hands together. Come on. Welcome this morning. See a lot of good-looking faces this morning, some ungood-looking. No, I'm just... It's glad to have everybody here this morning, all our family members in here, the visitors, our future family members. I'm so glad that you've chosen to be here with us this weekend. And yes, we have midweek service coming up this Wednesday. So y'all, come on. That's exciting. It was canceled last Wednesday, but we are prepared this Wednesday. So set an alarm on your phone. Be here at 6:30. We're going to be starting off, and we cannot wait to see you. And I'm thankful for video announcements because we have dinner with the staff tonight. And I'm glad to know that. And it's at 5:30. And we want y'all to come out and meet us. We want to meet you. You know, I know sometimes myself, when I'm not up here, I'm either running around running a camera or up in the media booth. So I see folks from afar off, but I never really get a chance to, like, shake your hand, find out your name, find out where you came from. And so if you haven't met us, please come out, be a part, and we can become closer together, start doing life together. But this morning, I'm excited to get up here and speak this message. This is something that's kind of been... Kind of been in the back of my head, on my heart for the last few months now. And I hadn't found the moment or haven't felt the right moment. And this morning, I feel like the Lord's just kind of brought this to a head. And I'm going to share something with y'all that's really near and dear to my heart. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Chad and the worship team for just getting us started in the mornings. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like half asleep when I come in the mornings. And, you know, then they're ready to go. And, man, they get us into the zone, into His presence, and it is good stuff. The only thing I hate is, and I hope next time if I get to preach, that I can come up right after worship, because I'm telling you, when the video turns on, I'm up here on stage and my mic's off, and I'm just wanting to, like, rip the video down and say, here's what I got to say. Because, man, Pastor Chad, he does a great job in getting our spirits stirred and our ears ready to hear what the Lord has brought today. And this weekend was a great weekend. Me and my daughter and my wife, yesterday, we started baking a cake. Has any dads in here tried to bake a cake with your daughter before? Okay, yeah, some of us. And it's it can be a difficult task. She wanted to make like a princess cake, and she had it listed out on how we were going to do it, what we were going to buy, where we were going to buy it. We bought some things at Walmart, we bought some things at Target, and we got it to the house, and she wanted a pink cake with blue icing. And how many knows that when you start baking with a six-year-old, eventually their attention begins to go elsewhere, you know? And so here I am. I went farther than, like, I really intended to go with this cake. I was hoping kind of get her started and then have, like, Mamar come into the picture and Mamar and Kinley make the cake and me just kind of stand back and tell them how to do it right, you know? I kind of got... involved more than what I intended to get involved, and things began to play out a little different than I imagined. My daughter started playing, and it was just me baking this cake. But the cake got made, and it was a double-decker cake, and Daddy was the hero of the day. But I'm going to bring that kind of around this morning here in just a minute, but I want to talk about faith this morning. I'm just going to just get right to it and get past all the fluff. I want to talk about faith this morning, and I've mentioned faith in many different kind of ways and moments in past messages, but faith is important. It's a cornerstone of Christianity here. It's of our spiritual journey. It's an entangled force that propels us forward in our everyday life in times of uncertainty, in times of trial. It illuminates our path before us as we move through this thing called life. Faith, it transcends our, like, mere belief. It's a deep trust in something greater than ourselves, a conviction that sustains us through the storms of life. in pages of Scripture, many times we encounter countless stories of faith of just ordinary men and women, ordinary boys and girls who dared to trust in the promises of God. And even when circumstances didn't seem like it was going to support that outcome, we see time after time God made a way. From Abraham's journey into the unknown, from Abraham to the unshakable belief that the disciples had of Jesus in the face of persecution, there's a power that is manifested in our life when we take that step of faith, when we put our faith in Jesus. The last time I was up here, I talked about a woman who lost her son. I don't know if you were here last time, but the Shunammite woman, she lost her son, and ultimately her faith led to the healing of her son. But boy, I don't know about you. It's a great story, and man, it's a great story to preach. I love to preach. Faith is happening in every second, and man, it's good to get up here and preach about faith, because sometimes preaching faith can kind of be like an easy message, in a sense. I'm not trying to like put down my message from the last time I was up here, but my attempt this morning is to look at it from a different angle. Something that I believe all of us can relate to. It's great to get up here and to talk about how faith can shift mountains, how it can separate seas, how it can open the blind eye, how it can open the deaf ear. It's great to get up here and talk about how faith can change your situation in just a moment. But has anyone ever had a prayer that wasn't answered? Has anyone ever lost a battle? Has anyone ever lost someone that they were praying for? Has anyone ever not received that healing that they prayed for? Does anyone seem like your season in life has not changed? Does anyone in here this morning say, man, things look different than I imagined? Is there anybody here this morning that goes, man, I've really gone further than I intended to go? In the New Testament section of the Bible, in the book of Mark, there's a story here about a large crowd. Now, people came from all over to get a look at this guy named Jesus. There's a crowd, a gathering to gather around Jesus to hear what he's got to say. They've heard of his miracle-working power in the land. They've heard of the signs and wonders that has flowed out of his ministry, and they wanted to really see it for themselves. Can you imagine living back then in that time? If I was the town next door to Jesus and I heard about this, I'd have to make a travel over to my donkey. I'd get over in my tricked out donkey, and I would ride over the town and check out what Jesus had to offer. Hey, I heard of this, and I kind of got to see it for myself. And this is what's taking place here. In Mark chapter 5, that's where I'm reading at this morning. We're going to start in verse 21, and they're not going to put the scriptures on the screen this morning. I just want you to follow along from your Bible apps, or for those of you who've chosen to bring a paper Bible, open up your papal Bible to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It said, when Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him by the lake. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and he saw Jesus. He fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she might be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Now, there was a woman that was there that had an issue of blood. For 12 long years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see, Jesus was standing in the crowd, or you see the people standing against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell to his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed in your suffering." But while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overwhelming what they said, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came up to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing aloud. He went in and said to him, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. And then he put them out, and he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in and where the child was. And he took her by the head and said, "Talith kahum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. This was completely astonishing to the people around. He gave strict orders for them not to tell anyone about this and told them to give her something to eat. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you this morning that you are in this place. God, your spirit is in this place. God, I thank you for everyone that has gathered in here this morning. God, we've all have life going on. We all have situations going on, but they've taken time out of their day to come and worship you corporately together. And God, this morning, as your presence is in this place, God, we put a pressure on your presence, God, to move in this place. God, we come in with ears open, with eyes open. God, we're asking you to change us, to make us different this morning, to do a work in our lives this morning. God, we thank you that the old man is gone. God, the new man is being manifested each and every day. And God, we pray that today we leave here just a little bit better than when we walked in. And everybody said, amen. Man, this message, this passage of Scripture, it's so good. I mean, there's so many different things we could sit here and we could talk about. We could talk about how we need to press through the different circumstances and situations that we encounter in life, and that we can't let those things hold us back, and we got to press through and grab hold on to Jesus. We could talk about this, talk about that this morning. We could talk about God's perfect timing that we see in this passage. We could talk about things like the comparison between this woman who had an issue of blood that was considered unclean, but yet Jesus later on walks into a situation with a dead little girl that was considered unclean as well and healed her, just like he healed the woman with the issue of blood. But this morning I want to talk about two different things, and I'm just going to give you the 2 points and then we're going to talk. Faith will sometimes lead you to a situation or a place you didn't imagine. And faith will sometimes take you farther than you wish to go or that you intended to go. It says in Mark 5 that there was a large crowd that had gathered. This father didn't just have easy access to Jesus. He had to press through the crowd. He had to press around others in the crowd. In another gospel, it writes that the crowd was crushing. There were so many people in this moment in time. But this father, man, he was determined to put his faith in Jesus. He's, "Man, I've heard about this situation. I've heard about Jesus moving on the behalf of others, and now I need Jesus to move on behalf of my situations." I heard someone say that certain situations will make your position irrelevant. I was actually listening to Stephen Furtick the other night, and he was talking about how this man didn't come to Jesus demonstrating his position, but he came to Jesus demonstrating his desperation for God to move on behalf of his daughter. You see, Jairus, he was a synagogue leader. He had position. He had authority. He had a place of influence. Yeah, he wasn't the priest, but he was a leader. He performed duties in the synagogue. He may have been doing the sacrifices, but he was doing the day in and day out duties. He was a volunteer. He wasn't paid. He was a local synagogue leader, kind of like some of us here at Oaks. We're here. We're synagogue leaders. We're here just giving the time and the volunteer that we have to try to impact the kingdom of God. And I kind of can relate with Jairus on this point. It says in verse 23 that when he saw Jesus, he fell at the feet of Jesus and pleaded earnestly with him. You see, Jairus, with all the position he carried, with all the power he carried in the community, it didn't matter because he was desperate in his situation to turn around. He was desperate for his things, for his situation to change. You see, desperate situations will cause us to act differently than what we thought that we would act before. Desperate situations will cause you to act different than when you thought you had it all figured out. Desperate situations will cause you to act differently when you thought that you could handle it on your own. And now a leader is at the feet of Jesus, hoping he can do something about it. A guy who's supposed to have all the answers, a guy who's supposed to have it all together, a guy who's supposed to be an example to everybody in the community is now in the mud, in the dirt, at the feet of Jesus in desperation saying, "Will you come see about my daughter?" Got any girl dads in the room? Yeah. Would you do that for your daughter? How wild would you be acting for your daughter? Your daughter is sick. I don't know about this guy pressing through the crowd. I don't know if maybe he was a little bit polite about it, but I just would not be that type of guy. I'm sorry. If y'all in the crowd and my daughter's sick and Jesus is in the middle, somebody is getting a little bit of elbow because I got to get in there and get my, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for my daughter. My daughter is dying, and I need Jesus to touch her. Can you imagine? And Jairus, man, he was in the dirt, literally and figuratively. He was desperate. Faith isn't some like one-time experience or event that takes place in our life. Faith is something that is a daily practice. It's something that we have to walk out each and every day. And you're going to experience the highs and lows in life. And you're going to experience the ups and downs. You're going to experience good times and bad times. You're going to experience hard times and easy seasons. You're going to experience all those. Because following Jesus means you're going to see each and every one of those steps. Jairus, he's desperate. He's at the feet of Jesus. The day we see him, he's not a synagogue leader. He's putting his faith in Jesus, asking him to come to his house. And man, at first, when you're reading this, he's like, man, he had to do something risky. He had to step out of his comfort zone. He had to do something that was a little bit out of the norm. But guess what? It worked. He got to Jesus. Until he was interrupted. There's a pause in the story. We're seeing Jairus. He's got his daughter. She's sick. She's dying. He's pleading. And then all of a sudden, this woman shows up. It's like the story just stops, and we switch right to a totally different character, totally different plot. It's in verse 24, this woman and a large crowd is pressed around him, who had been subject to a bleeding for 12 years. The Bible says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all she had, yet still of getting better, she got worse. Thousands of people pressed in to see Jesus that day, and in that crowd, there was a woman who had been sick for years. This unnamed woman in Mark chapter 5 says, verse 25, in the crowd, others call her the woman with the issue of blood, the woman, other people call her the woman with the flow of blood, but I like how Mark, he doesn't define her by her issue. Although her illness hurts her, causes her pain, causes her grief, she refuses to let it define her. She is a woman of courage and faith, and quite likely she was a resident of Capernaum during that time, and she was a part of the crowd we see that day, and I can see this woman with this issue of blood. She probably had many, many types of maybe different layers of clothing. Maybe she's trying to hide that flow of blood. So she's got many layers, and maybe she's got like a hoodie on. She's trying to cover her face while she presses through the crowd. This lady, she doesn't really want to be recognized, but during this time, Jewish women, they didn't have it easy. They didn't have it like they should have. In those days, women were not given the respect that they deserved in society. But not only that, the woman was sick. It was a double whammy. She had a bleeding disease, and for 12 long years, she struggled with this, and bleeding was a symbol for life and death, and in this situation it was a sign of death in her life, and as a result, anyone who had a issue with blood, a flow of blood issue, was considered unclean, and to be unclean was to be cut off from the community. This lady wasn't able to come and be a part of a local church. She wasn't able to get around a group of folks and do life with and to get through tough times with. No, she was on her own. She was alone. When she came into the presence of others, she would have to announce, "Unclean!" She couldn't just walk up in and sneak in and sit down. Like when we see in this passage, she's pressing through the crowd. The fact that she hasn't announced herself is already a check off against her. For 12 years, this woman battled this blood. She couldn't worship. She couldn't get married. She couldn't have kids. She couldn't have friends. Alone. Man, not being able to have any of those, man, it's hard. It makes life hard, worth, you know, living, doesn't it? No family, no friends. Sick, alone, diseased. She was suffering physically and financially. Said that she had been to doctors over and over. Spent all she had, yet in getting better, she grew worse. She tried everything in her power to overcome, but it didn't work. Maybe that's where some of you are this morning. You've tried everything in your power, and you're still in the same position. Maybe you've tried different doctors. Maybe you've tried different step programs. Maybe you've tried different books, different lessons you've got from a podcast, different things that your friends told you would work. Maybe different things you've read on the internet of new remedies, of things to try. You've tried all this, and you're in the same position. In her mind, she played it over and over again, how she would be made whole. Each visit to the doctor, her faith would allow her to envision a life where she was healed. But time after time, it didn't work. She would have never had imagined that it would have She would have suffered for 12 years. You see, her faith was taking her to a place she would have never imagined. She imagined time after time she would have been made whole by the doctors. She would have been healed by the doctors. Mark chapter 27 and 28 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Why did she think this? Why did she think, man, if I can just touch Jesus' clothes, I mean, I can be healed. I can be made whole. Well, there's something you got to understand about the Jewish tradition in those days with what men wore back in those days. mostly they would wear two different garments. They would wear an undergarment, a long robe similar to like a man's t-shirt, but really long, and it would extend past his knees, kind of like men's shin, and they would wear that out. And then there was an outer garment, which was called a cloak, or in Hebrew, it would be called a tallit, and it would be something that they would wear, and it would be a long rectangular piece of cloth, generally made of wool, and it would come over their shoulders, on this rectangular garment with four corners, there would be these tallits, these little tassels that would kind of hang off. We'll just call them tassels today, okay? Tassels that would hang off. And those tassels represented a couple different things. It represented the name of God, the laws of the Torah, other different things. But I'm going somewhere with this, okay? The word kanaf in Hebrew is corner. But it's also used to describe a wing. And I'm bringing this all around, okay? There's an Old Testament prophecy about the coming Messiah in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healings in his wings." Notice the phrase, with healing in his kanaf, wings or corner. When a Jewish person would read this verse, they would automatically think that Jesus, the Messiah, would come with healing in his tassels. That's why this woman in the book of Mark is pressing through the crowd trying to say, if I could just touch his garment, if I can just touch the corner, if I can just touch his kanaf, his tallit, I will be made whole. See, faith in God will cause you to let go of doubt and do something a little different. It will cause you to let go of something to reach out to him. It doesn't matter how far away you seem to be from him or how unimportant you seem to be to him or what the crowd might think. But this morning, I want you to let go. I want you to let go. Let go. Let go of doubt. Let go of insecurities. Let go. I'm just kind of talking to myself this morning. Let go of anxiety. Let go of depression. Let go of what the crowd is saying about you and look towards Jesus and grab hold. Press through your circumstances. Let go of pain. Let go of pride. Let go of your bad situation. Reach out to him. I know it looks different than you imagine. I know you probably pictured God doing something different, that this story was going to look a little bit different, that your life was going to play out a little bit different, but the miracle is still on the way. It doesn't look like how you pictured it, but God is still doing something for your good. It's not like she imagined, but she was determined to reach out to Jesus. What happened to this woman? Mark chapter 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Immediately she got up. 12 long years she was sick, trying to overcome her illness. She had the faith that she would find a cure after each doctor and after each visit, after doing something different, trying to overcome her illness. She was met with a disappointment each and every time. Yes, her faith didn't lead her to how she thought it was going to look, but the work was still done. The miracle still came. God still moved. Sometimes faith will lead you to a place you didn't imagine. In a sense, faith is like a dynamic interplay between trust and patience, between belief in God and his ability to act swiftly, and acceptance of his sovereign timing. It is the recognition that while some things may happen in an instant, though the miraculous intervention of God, others may unfold over time as a part of a larger purpose. Ultimately, faith invites us to surrender our own agendas, submit to God's will, and trust that he's working together for our good. Sometimes faith will lead you to a place you didn't imagine. the woman. She imagined the doctor would heal her, and now she finds herself in the dirt, grabbing hold of a guy's corner of his clothes, believing in healing. And then, y'all forgot about Jairus, didn't you? Jairus. What about him? This is not what he was expecting. This is not the place he was expecting to be, because at the very same moment she was being healed, he was getting a report that his daughter was dead. Oh man, this is not. This is not the place I imagined I would be. This is not how I thought it was going to play out. This woman, she just shows up out of the blue and gets her healing immediately. And now my daughter's dead. I mean, I can't, I'm just kind of being real. You know, maybe I'm not as holy as everybody else, but if I was Jairus, I'd be going, Jesus, what? We were headed to my house to pray for my daughter. And then this woman shows up, and now she's healed. And because you were wasting your time with her, now my daughter is sick. Or dead? Maybe I wouldn't have that thought. I could see where I would. Jesus, we were here for what I wanted. We were here because I wanted my daughter to be healed now. I wasn't intending to deal with this other stuff. I was intending to have you pray healing for my sick daughter. Man, the truth sometimes we face can be overwhelming. We all face truth this morning. Maybe your truth is your kids are crazy. Maybe your truth is your job is on the outs. Maybe the truth is I got a bill due in 2 weeks and I ain't got the money to pay it. We all face truth this morning, or what seems to be truth. The scripture here is a message of believing in God even during a bad outcome. This is where he is a place of something we couldn't control affected something that he was trying to move to. You see, in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, do not be afraid, just believe. I've came for my daughter to be healed, and now she's dead, and you're wanting me to take it one step further and believe for her to be raised from the dead? Just believe. Can you see Jairus saying those things? I know you're facing some issues this morning, but the journey isn't over. Church, I want you to listen. The process isn't over. There's still a work to be done. He's going to do it. Don't lose heart. Just because you didn't intend to go this far doesn't mean that he doesn't have you intended right where he wants you to be. God is going to do something. Sometimes faith will take you farther than you intended to go, but putting your faith in Jesus doesn't mean you won't experience hard times, doesn't mean you won't experience tough times and failure and doubt, but it's faith that will give you the strength to make it through. I know the situation looks bleak. Come on, do you hear me? I know it doesn't look good, but if I put my faith in God, his promises will eventually come through. Man, I've traveled further than I intended to go, but my faith is a hope in Jesus. He is my God. He is my hope. I didn't intend to go this far. I didn't picture it to play out like this, but I serve a God whose name is still above every name, that is still going to make a way. He's my protector. Faith will sometimes lead you to a place you didn't imagine, and faith will sometimes take you farther than you intended to go. Where did this come from? For 5 years, I've been in a restoration process, and I've been struggling over the last year because what I saw it playing out, it didn't play out that way. And for the longest time, I was missing the work God was doing in my life. And just a long story short to say, this morning, it may not look like how you wanted to look, but I want you to take a step back and see what God's done. God brought you through. Maybe you're not in that position that you wanted, but he's got you in the place that you need to be.